Many years have passed and everyone's getting mad?
Huh? What do you mean?
I mean, everyone's getting Monsignor Achilles Dakay. His weekly Bible study is getting bigger, better, and stronger.
This is the new and improved Gifted to Give podcast.
Hi, I'm Gian.
And I'm Jillian.
We are here to spend quality time as we listen to the message of God through our beloved Monsignor Achilles Dakay, a Bible study that is truly gifted to give and a gateway evangelization to all those who are spiritually drained.
Absolutely. Monsignor Dakay was the official spokesman of His Eminence Ricardo Cardinal Vidal. He had the title of Media Liaison. He is almost 90 years old and still passionate about preaching the Bible.
Yes, he loves to reach out to a new and younger audience in making this podcast. Truly, he is gifted to give. Let's listen to a new episode with Monsignor Achilles Dakay.
Good morning. Good morning to all of you, wherever you may be. Most welcome once more to our Bible study online. Today is the last Friday of the 20-day month of February of this leap year 2024. And remember, today is the second day appointed for abstinence for all of us who are aged 14 and up. Just a reminder, because before Good Friday in Holy Week, we still have two meatless Fridays, days appointed for abstinence. A very good practice to train our willpower to say no. Anyway, so before anything else, let us pray. Almighty Father, send your Holy Spirit upon us that we may read your word with faith, reflect on it with hope, and realize it with love, following the example of your only begotten Son, from whom we find freedom, fulfillment, and the future with you forever. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. We are now inside the season of Lent. The first week of Lent has come to pass, and we are now entering to the second week. We have tried to meditate on the mysteries, the sorrowful mysteries, but together with the stations of the cross. We have also studied already the second sorrowful mystery, the scourging at the pillar, and the third, the crowning with thorns, together with the fifth station of the cross. And now, with the help of God's mercy, we shall try to study the fourth sorrowful mystery, the carrying of the cross, which in the way of the cross is read in station 6, 7, and 8. So together we shall try to study and learn a lesson from. As far as the Gospel assigned for next Sunday, coming the second Sunday of Lent, we are made to read again and reflect on the fourth mystery of light, the Transfiguration. But we have already studied this, so we leave that to the Sunday homilies to preach on the mystery of the Transfiguration from whatever angle and under whatever aspect for whatever application you may make. But now, here on this day of Friday, we continue to study and learn a lesson from, this time from the fourth sorrowful mystery, the carrying of the cross. Now, this mystery is also narrated by the three of them, or even the four of them, evangelists. So we shall now hear the reading of the mystery, carrying of the cross, in John chapter 19 and 16 to 17. So now we listen to Miss Elizabeth Lim Go to reason for us the gospel.
Gospel of John. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus, carrying his own cross. He went out to the place of the skull, which is in Aramaic called Golgotha. The Gospel of the Lord.
That's all. We stop there. The Gospel about the carrying of the cross alone, which we now know as the way of the cross. Let us try to study this and let us learn from Bible scholars. You know, the Bible scholars have been telling us that what Jesus carried and what the two thieves carried was only the cross beam of the cross. The cross beam, because the vertical beam has already been brought to Calvary, because the vertical beam is heavy. So what is carried by Jesus is only the cross beam. That's what we have been taught by Bible scholars, and we believe them. So Jesus was carrying the cross beam of his cross. We shall now study this mystery of carrying the cross beam of the cross. Jesus was sinless, we know. But Jesus, according to St. Paul, put on his shoulders the sins of all of us. So he was also carrying his cross in that sense. The carrying of the cross was the first step to crucifixion, but we are still studying only the way of the cross, which we are not told how long it was, but we are told that Jesus, while carrying the cross beam, together with two other criminals, Jesus guarded by at least 4 soldiers. They met a man named Simon from Cyrene. He was coming from the farm, maybe from the country to the city. And we are told that they forced him, they seized him to carry the cross of Jesus. We are not told whether Jesus fell first time, second time, or third time. We are not told that. We are just told that the cross of Jesus was put on the shoulders of this man called Simon. He must be old already because he is the father of Alexander and Rufus. We are not told either how Simon carried the cross, but the fact is that he must have made his own the crossbeam of Jesus. So we see here a transfer from the sinless to the sinful, from the creator to the creature. But Simon, therefore, took in silence, he does not say anything, he took and carried this crossbeam that was Christ. As they were walking, we are told in another station that yes, people, among them many women, were following Jesus, who was behind Simon, and Simon was carrying the crossbeam. And these women from Jerusalem were weeping and crying for Jesus. They were thinking that Jesus precisely was carrying the cross because he was also deserving to be punished that way. But then we know that Jesus said, "Women of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. I am not a sinner. I'm not carrying this cross because I am a sinner, but because of you, because of your sins. So weep and wail for yourselves and for your children. Now, therefore, we see what carrying of the cross meant for Simon as well as for the women of Jerusalem. The carrying of the cross for Simon was precisely to participate in the suffering of Jesus by carrying the crossbeam of the cross of Jesus himself, Simon, in silence without complaint. And the women of Jerusalem were precisely told to carry your own cross, weep, wail. We have already learned what for do we mourn. In the Beatitudes it is said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Now Jesus taught this not only with authority but with example. We know that Jesus mourned. He wept twice. Once over the evil of the death of Lazarus, and secondly over the sin of the people of Jerusalem. So actually what he was saying to the women of Jerusalem, weep for what is evil and mourn for what is sinful. That is how you will also carry your cross. Learning from these two incidents, the cross, the beam carried by Simon, and the crosses that should be carried by these women. We learned that it has something to do with sin. Therefore, when Jesus was teaching his disciples then, and is teaching us now, if any one of you wants to come after me to be my disciple, he must, three conditions, deny himself, forget himself or herself, and secondly, take up his cross, carry his cross. Saint Luke of the four evangelists has pointed out that Jesus actually meant take up your cross, carry your cross, walk with it along the streets every day, he says. Carry your cross every day. So the question is, how do we take up our cross? How do we carry our crosses of being sinful, of crying, weeping over what is evil and what is sin? How do we do that? If anyone wants, no force, no pushing up against your will, if you want to come after me, carry your cross daily. Take up your cross daily. What therefore does this mean? To carry your cross daily. To take up your cross daily. What is daily in us? When we go to Mass, say every day, at the very beginning of every Mass, after making the sign of the cross in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, we hear the celebrant say, let us acknowledge our sins. And we all pause for some silence to acknowledge our sinfulness. This is how we begin to carry our cross. In silence, we examine for a moment our consciences, and then we strike our breast once and admit that you have been greatly sinning through your fault, through your fault, through your most grievous fault. That is carrying the cross every time you attend Mass. Every time, every day, we must therefore be conscious of that sinfulness, that waywardness that is ours. Every day, at Mass therefore, every time we attend Mass, let us be sincere and serious about carrying our crosses, being mindful of our sinfulness, acknowledging our sins. That moment at the very beginning of Mass is very important. That's why when I personally, this has become my habit, I wait for those coming to church, maybe late for 5 or 10 minutes. I wait for them so that we will all together participate in this carrying of the cross, acknowledging our sins through our fault, through our fault, through our fault. This is what I try to drive home. carrying the cross every day is being conscious of our frailty, of our feebleness, of our misfortune to have sinned in thoughts, in words, and what we have done and what we have failed to do. That part of the Mass, therefore, is very, very serious. We are standing on our own 2 feet, and in public, we admit loud and clear that it's one of us. Carrying your cross daily, sinful day after day, sinful, not actually sinning, but sinful, prone to sin when tempted. That silence, therefore, to accept our sinfulness should be carried also home when we are dismissed and the Mass is ended. We go forth. At home, we should find time and space also to admit to each other our sinfulness. We have been saying in a family, there is a lot of giving and taking, because marriage, family is give and take. But you cannot deny it. There may be or there would be misgivings and mistakes. So what we need is the humility to accept that we also are guilty of some misgivings or guilty of some mistakes. To carry the cross in that sense, we need not be literal. I'm reminded of Sunday Mass when the priest was precisely preaching on this, take up your cross and follow me. A woman in the audience got out of the church and went home and came back with a man on her shoulders saying, this is my cross, my drunk husband. That's too literal, of course. But the best pain or the worst pain that we feel inside out and outside in is precisely the consciousness, the acknowledgement of our own feebleness and frailty, of our inwardness and our sinfulness. In public, the way of the cross was done in public. Each one of them. What therefore is needed, let us learn from the good thief. 2 criminals were crucified, but before their crucifixion, they were also made to carry the cross beams of their respective churches. While the criminal, the bandit crucified on the left of Jesus, was also making fun of Jesus, was also hurling insults to Jesus, the one on the right, we call Demas, was precisely repentant. He made it. He made good of the way of the cross by acknowledging his sinfulness. He said to his co-bandit to the left, "Don't you fear God?" So that is one motive to repentance. Fear God. He said, the sentence that we are receiving, we deserve it because that is what we have been doing. I mean, we deserve this punishment for what we have done. But this Jesus, he said, this Jesus has done no wrong, and yet he is crucified, and yet he carried the cross like us. So to carry the cross along the way is precisely to be humble enough to acknowledge in public that we have greatly sinned, loud and clear. Let us therefore learn from that good thief. While we are carrying our crosses every day, let us also be humble enough to precisely resolve to repent, to change ourselves for the better, from bad to good, from good to better, from better to best. And let us learn from those women of Jerusalem who were told to weep and mourn over evil and over sin. This is what this fourth sorrowful mystery is reminding us. Jesus, who was sinless, but who carried on his shoulders our sins, precisely is teaching us, let us be sorrowful, let us be saddened, let us repent for what we have done or what we have failed to do. So here I pause for some of your questions and reflections on this matter. Not only meditating on the fourth sorrowful mystery, carrying of the cross, but also meditating on Jesus carrying his cross, meeting Simon, and meeting those women of Jerusalem.
Good morning, Mons.
Good morning.
In this season of Lent, it is a good reminder to take up your cross. I like how you emphasize that acknowledging with humility that I am indeed a sinner is a way to carry my cross. Humility is difficult, and being active in church, I could become spiritual proud, and this focus for today's Bible study shows that carrying your cross also means humility.
That's right. Humility in public, in humility, loud and clear, acknowledging your sinfulness. Hello.
Good morning, Mons.
Good morning.
Thanks for reflecting on the meaning of striking our breast at Mass, that we are carrying our cross because it is humiliating yet humbling to confess our sins publicly. It means its meaning is richer now. Thanks, Mons.
I have said this time and time again. In Cebuano, to acknowledge our sins is hinol soli. To hinol in Cebuano is not just to touch your breast, but to feel as in feel. Hinol is you go to the root cause of your sinfulness. It's not like that. It's not my fault. It's my fault. Really, it's really my fault. That's hinol. Hinol soli. Go to the root cause. The root cause of our sins can be traced to what Adam and Eve felt. Pride and impatience. That's the root cause, actually, of our sins, whatever it is. Pride and impatience. Kamapahitason o sa pagkamadali-dalion.
Hello, Mons.
Hello.
As I try to carry my own cross daily, I know that Jesus is always carrying the bigger and heavier portion of the cross because my sins keep on being recycled, repeated, and reinvented. I'm sorry, Lord, and have mercy on me. Your reflections help me love Jesus more. Thank you, Mons.
You get a copy of the so-called footprints in the sand. A good lesson. While we are walking along this journey, we, according to the story of the footprints in the sand, there were four prints on the sand. Towards the end of the way, the guy noticed that there were only two footsteps left. And when the guy asked, "What happened, man?" he said, "Because while from the beginning we were walking side by side or one after the other, towards the end I put you on my shoulder and I walked for you. That's why there were only four footsteps or footprints on the sand." A very good, it's poetry, but actually, it's a good reminder of us that, yes, we should not get discouraged because sometimes Jesus carries our cross, just like Simon who carried the cross of Christ, etc.
Hello, Mons.
Hello.
when nag-start to strike our chest 3 times. Kahinumdum ko pagkabata nako, dili like that ang practice, pero karon like that na. Did the church enhance that to show humility?
Yeah. Some strike their breast when saying Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Have mercy. That is not mandated, that is not commanded, but at the very beginning of the Mass, it is mandated, it is commanded that we strike our breast once. In Latin, semel. But strike it and feel it. Feel as in feel. It's not like that. It's like this hinul soli.
Good morning, Mons.
Good morning.
Thanks for the reminder to carry our cross humbly, that we are sinners and we commit mistakes all the time. God is merciful.
Remember the parable of the 2 people who went to church to pray, a Pharisee and a publican. The Pharisee was proud to go near the altar, but the publican, the tax collector, was very humble. He stayed at a distance, would not even look up to heaven, but looked down to himself and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Monsignor,
yeah.
How often do we do the Via Crucis during the season of Lent?
That's right. Every Friday, it is advised, at least every Friday of Lent, at any time of the day, preferably at 3 o'clock, because that's the time when Jesus was being crucified. But the way of the cross happened hours before the 3 o'clock on Friday. And so, I repeat, if you make the sign, the stations of the cross, be more contemplative, be more meditative. Yes, after every station you will say, we bless, we adore you, O Lord, and we bless you, because by the passion of the cross, you have redeemed the world. Yes, but every station has its own meaning. The 14 stations of the new way of the cross, which is, thank God, Bible-based already. The first station is the Last Supper. And the 14th station is the Resurrection. And in between, you have the sorrowful mysteries. That's why I feel I'm right in trying to study now before Holy Week this year the mysteries of the Rosary, especially these sorrowful mysteries. We shall have one more. We shall study the 5th sorrowful mystery, the crucifixion, come Friday next.
Moons,
yeah.
Tinood another meatless Friday, pero is it true exempted ang mga senior citizens?
Exempted lagi, pero if you look around, if you read the papers, if you listen to the radio, if you watch television, there are many, many senior citizens, grandfathers, who rape their own children. There are also old people who need. That's why voluntarily, if we are still strong, willingly let us abstain from meat on our own free will, because it will continue to train our willpower to say no. We are not exempted. We senior citizens are not exempted to say no to whatever temptations there may be.
Good morning, Monsignor Dakai.
Good morning.
Thank you for this Bible study, because every time I hear Mass, it has become more meaningful to me.
That's what we are trying to do, to make the Holy Mass the center and the circumference of our daily lives. We look forward to it, and we go out of it energized, as it were, for having listened to the Word of God and for having received Holy Communion. If we do that every day, wow.
Mons, if we are invited to a party on a Friday of Lent, can we substitute another day of the week to abstain meat?
Okay. Let us state this. The laws of the church, the so-called precepts of the church, make holy the Lord's Day, attend Holy Mass, fast and abstain, disappointed, etc., they do not oblige under grave inconvenience. For example, you are being pregnant the last month of pregnancy. It may be difficult for you even to ride in your own car to the church. Then you are exempted. The law does not oblige you under your inconvenience, but do not create the convenience or the inconvenience. If there is such, so if there is a happening which takes place on a Friday of Lent, if you are ready to accept the invitation, okay, you cannot, of course, ask for just eggs or salad from the host. It would be a great inconvenience. So you are not anymore obliged to do that. But the question is, if you can say no to this invitation, why can't you? Say no to this invitation and see you tomorrow. This will challenge our order of priorities. Is it prior to you to obey the church law, even if at a great inconvenience, or to attend a party of friends? This will challenge your order of priorities. Remember, the days appointed for fasting and abstinence are just few days within the year, and there are many parties during the year. So challenge your order of priorities. You won't lose friends by not attending his or her party. But I'm sure your friend will admire you more, will praise you to the high heavens for precisely obeying what the church has commanded us to do, to be and to do. Yes, I know some friends, even relatives, who drop out of our church because they see we have so many rules and regulations. They would rather be a Protestant or born again, because it's easier for them. But Catholic religion is indeed a very difficult way of life. But then we always pray that by the help of God's grace, God's mercy, we may be free from sin and safe from all distress. So, here we pause for God's final blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So see you again next Friday, God willing.
That was an amazing Bible study session. You think so, Jill?
Yes, Monsignor Dakai is truly remarkable. I have learned a lot from his reflections.
Can you share your learnings and takeaways?
In this season of Lent, it is a good reminder to take up your cross. I like how it was emphasized a way to carry our crosses is to remember that we are sinners. I am reminded that as I carry my cross, Jesus carries the biggest and heaviest portion.
That's right, Jillian. We are called to carry our crosses. We're reminded to take up our cross because as followers of Christ, and to be Christ-like is our calling. As we take up our cross, we are reminded that we need to accept as well that being a follower of Christ is not easy. It entails responsibility, patience, humility, and faith. We cannot do it on our own. We need Jesus in our hearts and minds. And by taking up our crosses, we get to understand the mission of Jesus here on earth, and we become grateful to Him. I would like to thank Monsignor Achilles Dakai for another wonderful episode of the Gifted to Give podcast. I would like to thank my new partner, Jillian, for sharing your reflections and learnings.
Of course, I am so excited to be part of this rebranding of the podcast. I will definitely see you next week for another episode of Gifted to Give podcast.
With Monsignor Achilles Dakai, goodbye and to God be the glory.